Welcome all the relatives and friends of the Larson household, or the Barnes household, or just friends, amen. And all of you that are here this 2018, amen. Are we ready, Nathan? Let's roll. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, we this day start out, and if you've listened to the ads, you've listened to the advertisement, they say the workout places are filled to overflowing. Diet plans are implemented like never before. People with all kinds of great intentions are kicking forth and going to accomplish something they believe will be life-changing. And we surely don't want to hinder that. But I believe the Lord's given me something that should be and can be, because it's in us, a way of life that will help us enjoy that life that Christ came to give us, that abundant life, that Zoe life. I'm not calling it a New Year's resolution. I'm calling it a way of life. But I want to talk about that which is already in you, and that's being humble and kind. Those came to you when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We call it the kingdom within. You don't work it up. You didn't do something to deserve it. You just gave your lives to Jesus. And the Bible says that many will say, here's the kingdom, there's the kingdom. That says the kingdom is at hand. It's within us. And it comes with the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus said he would leave us. And when this Holy Ghost came, he would never leave us. Amen. So this day we stand saved, we stand whole, we stand set free. And the very tools that came with the Holy Ghost is in us. One of those tools we know is him. In the Old Covenant, we study, and many people use this as a tool of caste system. They say, well, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. And we understand in the Old Covenant, the anointing of God only fell on priests, kings, and prophets. But we know when Jesus went to the cross and ripped over that wall of separation, that the anointing comes and lives in each and every believer. Amen. So look to your neighbor and say, you're anointed. You're anointed. Then let them know you're anointed too. So we're not to touch, and we're not to do harm. There's something exciting breaking forth in Saginaw Valley. Almost every month we have more and more pastors coming together praying for one another. Don't matter what denomination they're from, or whether they're non-denominational or whatever. When they realize that we're on the same team and Jesus Christ is our Lord, they quit worrying about trying to fight one another and realize we're on the same team. And the revival that we're believing for is not in one location, but it's within us that's going to be released wherever we go. Amen? So every church that's blood-bought should be filled with believers that are going to open up and receive the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen? We all get the same Holy Ghost. Wherever I go, I share this, and it's enlightening. Whether I'm in the prison or whatever, they're astounded. We never heard that. It's ridiculous they've not heard it. You don't get a baby Holy Ghost and I got some giant Holy Ghost. We get the same Holy Ghost when we believe Jesus Christ. And with that comes the kingdom. And part of the kingdom we call the fruit of the Spirit. And when the fruit of the Spirit comes with the Holy Ghost, we get the full package. Everybody say full. So let me just read this to you. You don't need to turn to it. I know you got a handout. If you want, you can. But I'm reading Galatians chapter 5. To the church of Galatia, these were believers that were being exhorted. Let the flesh will kill you, but the Spirit that lives in you will free you. And it talks about, as I look at verse 25, the fruit of the Spirit is. Everybody say is. Now the reason why I want you to emphasize is, being an English teacher and working with this, whenever you see the verb are, that means whatever follows it, each has its own identity. So if I said the store had all these kinds of fruit, and they are apple, banana, pear. Each one has its own special identity. But when it comes with the Holy Spirit, they use the singular verb is. In every version that I've ever read, it says the fruit of the Spirit is, which means, as clear as I can say, is this: every fruit cannot be separated. It'd be like taking an orange. If you take a section of that orange, you do not have an orange. You have a slice of orange. But the orange is the fruit of the Spirit. All the parts, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, humility, all comes with the same package, and we get that package when we get saved. So all the things, someone can't say, well, I wish I had discipline like somebody else. I wish I had love like someone else. I wish I could do this and that. You have it in you. You just have to learn how to release what's already yours. And that's releasing the kingdom. That's releasing what God has given to all of us freely. So this morning, I want to encourage you along the lines of this year, 2018, of learning how to implement being humble and being kind. Here's a definition of humble. It's having while showing a modest estimate of one's own importance. Did you get that? Not putting all the importance on ourselves, but you're looking out and you're putting importance on others. We used to have a mandate on the wall we used to fly, calling us ministers, looking to bless others. Amen? Definition of kind is having while showing a friendly, generous, and considerate nature to others. All those fruit are already in us. We already have the ability to be humble. We already have the ability to be kind. But until we learn, and I hope today we'll understand that we have a place in this, we are the releasers of what we already have. And the difference between those that will say, oh, look how anointed this brother is or this sister is only because they've learned how to release what we all got. And when they release it, they see it. And when they see it, oh my gosh, they're anointed. The good news is you're all anointed if Jesus is your Lord. And when you learn how to tap into it, then others are going to be blessed because it's about others. I think we got a humble and kind group this morning, Pastor Mike. Nice, lots of smiles out there. Let me read in Galatians 6, it says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And it goes on to say, if you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. Verse 9 says, do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Verse 10, therefore, since we know this, as we have opportunities, let us do good to all, but especially to those in the household of faith. Now, it didn't say just the household of Shield of Faith. Those are believers wherever they worship. We have believers from other works today. We are to do good to all, but especially to all of those that have the same walk with Jesus. Now, this would not be laid out in New Testament if we weren't capable of releasing this. So the emphasis is we have to take the steps to sow if we want to reap. Now remember, all the kingdom is within. The Holy Ghost is never going to leave us. But to get the kingdom out, the Bible says the Word of God is set up as seed time and harvest. Everything we sow, we will reap. We can sow hatred and reap hatred. We can sow love and reap love. Whatever we're lacking, if we sow it, we can get a harvest. If I plant potatoes, I'm not going to get wheat. If you plant obstinance and envy, we reap it. If we plant bitterness and unforgiveness, we reap it. In other words, our worst enemy is us, and we've got all the keys to the kingdom. So we learn how to implement that which we want. You heard the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. The reason being is as you do unto others how you want, you're going to reap that back in your own lives. Humble and kind. Everybody in here has opportunities. Every day we have opportunities to do good to others. Whether we do it or not, guess what? As saved as we are, we're not forced. He's a loving God. This Holy Ghost in us wants us to use the principles, but He leaves it up to us to do it. Let me share something with you that's pretty profound, but yet it's pretty simple. If you're smart, if you're rich, if you have a very good skill, if you got areas that you're greater than others in, it's going to be harder for you to be humble and kind. You see, humble and kind is an attitude. And when we get an attitude, and remember I read humble, having and showing a modest estimate of one's own importance. Do you know the smarter someone is, or the more talented or gifted in them, the more their pride level goes up? Mm-hmm. I put it like this. The Bible says we can beat the devil and win every time. But we can never fight God and win. And God says he resists the what?
Proud.
So the pride areas of our lives, you're never going to win in. Because it's not the world, it's God that resists that. But he does give grace to the humble. And he's giving it because it's a free gift that we get by just releasing what's already ours. But it's not as easy if someone thinks people study and become very, very proficient, whether it's on an instrument. Ask my wife. We've gone through all kinds of challenges with musicians that think they're good and act as if they're good. And it just destroys everything else. We have a very humble worship team. But because of that, God can use them and they can flow. See, there's a scripture in Romans. Paul was addressing the church at Rome, and we always like 1 and 2 that told us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But verse 3 says that we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to think soberly, as God has anointed every believer. Every believer is on equal turf. And when we think more highly because we know more, we think we're smarter, we're more gifted or skilled, we have to yield those areas because those areas are always fighting for you to act as if you're somebody. It has crept into the church. We'll even put titles on it. If you don't like Weldon, I'll put pastor. If you don't like pastor, I'm going to be an evangelist. If you don't like evangelist, I'll be a prophet. If you want a prophet, I'll be apostle. I'll be a bishop. And we put titles so people, oh my gosh, haven't they arrived? And the issue is this. The only one we're supposed to lift up is Jesus.
Amen.
And the rest of us are on this playing field of setting others free. But when we realize this and we got the same power as these we put on a pedestal, God can work with us because he's breaking the pompousness and the attitude that keeps us from going forth. So, Chronicles, I'm going to take you a little thing through. I'm going to go to Chronicles, favorite scripture that we always like to pray over our nation. But I want to show you the Old Covenant in this light. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and most of you know it by heart. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Everybody look at me. This call is not to unbelievers. This call is to God's people and their believers. If they will humble themselves, it didn't say if they'll let me humble them. If they will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, the Bible says that they'll hear from heaven and their land will be healed. This is old covenant. I understand, but stay with me. Because when Jesus came on the scene, he didn't come to do away with the old covenant. He came to bring it to complete. So we see the essence of it, and we realize that we have a role with this kingdom in us to humble ourselves and pray. We were at a pastor's meeting this last week, and it was a challenge to hear how many pastors struggle to pray. Statistically, it's a struggle, and it's so key and so vital. And the emphasis is if you'll pray, if you'll humble yourselves. Micah. My Bible is 13:26. You guys probably got the same. Micah chapter 6. Verse 8. Again, Old Covenant. He has shown, O man of God, what is good. And the Lord requires this of you, that you do justly, that you have mercy. And a reference of mercy is right at the head of mine is kindness. That you would operate in kindness and you would walk humbly with your God. Now again, the prophetic word says that here's a challenge of a key element that's in us, but we have to choose whether we're going to choose to walk in this, which is what he wants that's good. Does he still love us if we don't do that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Does he keep us from heaven if we don't walk that way? Heck no. If Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, wow, we're going to spend eternity together. But if we want kingdom of heaven on earth, then we got to implement the kingdom principles on earth,
yes, sir,
as they are in heaven. This is what Proverbs says. Proverbs 15:23 says, before honor comes to your household, humility is released. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride in your life will go before destruction, a haughty spirit before you fall. Proverbs 18:18, before destruction, the heart is haughty, before honor again is humility. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man's lips praise you and not your own. It's kind of like what Pastor Mike was doing last week. He wasn't up here bragging about how much he'd given. He was bragging on you, how much you had blessed and planted and helped 26 other ministries. If I could tell parents anything, you need to escalate and praise your kids as much as you possibly can. They need to hear it. They hear enough of the negative and the junk, and that's the key we got with wayward kids out there. They haven't heard moms and dads tell them, I love you, son, I love you, daughter. What you're doing is this is great, 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 and try not to focus on the bad, bad, bad. And that's what happened last week as Pastor Mike was sharing this, focusing on what a blessing you are to be able to bless this many ministries versus look at how good I am. There's a difference, folks. But let another man's lips praise you and not your own. Let's go into the transitional scriptures. Luke 14:11. I might have put the wrong one down on that. If you got your paper, it might say Matthew, but it's Luke 14:11. Here's Jesus. The Bible says this. In the transitioning, Jesus, remember, he was taking us from the old covenant to bring it to completion, to give us and present us into the new covenant in Acts. 14:11 says this. For whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Again, Jesus is laying out, he's not going to ask us to do something we can't do. He's telling believers, if you humble yourself, you get exalted. You're not exalting yourself, you get exalted. Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing to see and to believe for families to continuously be humble and kind and watch how they just get that back? You talk about the church all of a sudden coming alive. Wow!
Amen, brother.
Says that they're jealous, and it says what the world is going to look at. They're going to see the love we have one for another. Wouldn't it be neat if they said, my gosh, hanging out with those, that family or that person, man, they're so humble and they're so kind. I always tell people this way. People love to hang with humble people, and they hate it, and they have to tolerate those that are not. Those that think more highly of themselves, act more highly than themselves, always want to win the argument, always want to be in charge, are those that people don't want to hang around. But if you humbly release that key fruit of the Holy Ghost, it builds a bridge. And now you got an avenue, maybe share a nugget and help somebody get out of their stranglehold, chains, bondages, or whatever. Amen? Now we're into the new covenant. Ephesians 4:2 says this, with all humility and kindness, using your patience, bear with one another. Now, the new covenant says with all humility and kindness. In other words, it's saying what we already got. With humility and kindness, with patience, bear with one another in love. It's not now we got to go get it. We got it. We just got to realize it's already ours and begin to release it. What a liberating force when we find out that, if I was only as disciplined as Pastor. No, you got the discipline within you. You just got to exercise it. The Holy Ghost didn't give me some special insights and other people don't know. He gave everybody the same seeds. Nobody in this room can brag that they've got more of God in them than somebody else. A pastor can't say, I've got more of God than you. No, we all get the kingdom when we ask Jesus Christ, the Lord of our lives. In 1 John, the Beloved says this, you need not any man teach you, but the Holy Ghost that lives inside you. He says you got an anointing from the Holy One, God, the Father, Son, and you get the Holy Ghost. You need nobody teach you. Yes, we need to be encouraged by others, but the great teacher that sets people free is the Holy Spirit that gets us to Jesus. And when you know the truth, and the truth is Jesus, the truth is what makes us what?
Free.
And that freedom comes by realizing you can humble and be kind, and it's not going to take that much effort. It takes more effort to think you've arrived and want to treat people as secondly or third class or whatever. Colossians 3:12 says, we are God's elect, we're holy, we're beloved. And then it challenges, put on kindness, humility, and bearing with one another. In other words, we're God's elect, and we can put on kindness and humility. If we can put it on, can we put it on?
Yeah.
Paul's not preaching to unbelievers. He's preaching to believers. Can you imagine what would happen in the church if all believers realized they got the kingdom in them and they realized that they can do just as much as anybody else can do? Oh, yeah, we know the specifics. We know the hand and the feet and the eye. We need the specific parts. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, if all believers would realize that where they go, the kingdom goes, where they tread, the kingdom treads, wow, what an impact we would have.
Right.
When I was teaching in school, the hardest thing to get students, we had a fellowship of Christian athletes I oversaw, and it was to get them to realize, hey, you've got God with you. Exercise what's already yours. It's amazing, because of religion, we have been conditioned to think there's only special gifted people that have this. And God is shaking that, because he says judgment has begun first in the house of the Lord. He's shaking that off the church, because these traditions are being broken that have made the word of God of none effect. And the church is coming alive because they're realizing, wow, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Amen.
James chapter 4. New covenant, James, heart of a teacher, heart of a pastor, says this in verse 6. God will resist the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned into mourning. Verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. The act, it's here, we got it, but we have to step out and implement it. And remember, we reap what we sow. If we sow humility, we reap as God's elect. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to close with this scripture. I'm going to ask Nathan to get something ready for me. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5 says this. Looking to the last half of this challenge. Submit to one another and clothe yourself with humility. God resists the proud, but he will give grace to the humble. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and he will exalt you in due time. And then it goes on, it says, cast all your cares on him. The implementation of this that's already ours is in us to do. I believe 2018 that we're going to see a church come alive.
Amen.
It's going to come alive in homes. It's going to come alive in communities. It's going to come alive in schools. It's going to come alive in factories. It's going to come alive in hospitals.
Yeah.
Because men and women of faith that have the Holy Ghost within them are going to exercise what's already theirs and are going to begin to exercise humility and kindness. And those two in themselves are going to powerfully impact others, because right now there is so much confusion and there is so much heaviness. There is so much depression that's in our America right now, fighting and warring and all this. And yet in the midst of it, to see the peace that comes with being kind to others and being humble, what a breakthrough. Some of you have heard me say that my favorite movie implements this. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart plays George Bailey in this. All through George Bailey's life, with his Bailey savings and loan situation, he always humbles himself and elevates others. He sends his brother to school first. He doesn't want the people to be without their homes and their loans, so he steps up and gives his own finances to meet the needs. And then as it wraps up, and some of you that are familiar with it, his Uncle Billy loses an $8,000 wad of money. And when Potter, representing the enemy, confronts George Bailey and says, "What did you do, steal it?" This is what George says: "I don't know where I misplaced it." Instead of blaming his uncle, he took the heat himself. Again, wow, right to the top. That's what separates us from the world. God wants us to operate and live at the top. The top is with Jesus implementing his principles. Amen?
Amen.
Now you can stop yourself and look for opportunities. You know when you flare up and you've got that anger that's coming, almost you can bet 100% you have got your feelings hurt or somebody has challenged you that you think you know more than they do and you just want to give it to them. I'm saying in 2018 you're going to give them kindness and you're going to give them
Amen.
Humility.
Amen.
And those two factors are going to make people want to change and be more like the men and women that are implementing this.
Yes, sir.
I know my wife may not want me to share this, but she was coming home from visiting her mother out in North Carolina. And she was ready to rest. It'd been not just visiting, it was taking care of her mom that's in her 80s and having some medical issues and a little bit of a stressful time. And she was looking to crash. And I've always gleaned from PK because she's been an excellent example for me to walk in humility and kindness, because she may be strong and many people know her as strong, but she's always filled with humility and kindness, and people will receive that because they know she's not doing it vindictively. But as she's settling into her coach seat, which if anybody has flown in the last, you need to realize I'm not a big person, but my seat is pretty cramped when I sit down in it. There's not a lot of extra room. So I can't imagine how somebody that's a little bit larger than me, well, it just so happens she's ready to crash, and she's hoping that somebody sits that's going to let her crash, and it just happens to be this very big guy that sits down and takes all her room and leaning over, and her arms are on her lap and so forth. And all of a sudden a youngster comes up and says, "Oh, sir, that's my seat." And he said, "But if you want it, you can stay in that seat." And my wife looked at this gentleman of good size and said, "No, sir, you can stay right there." And as he began to be blessed in this, she began to open up, and he was a father of many kids. And he was a farmer that was heading home. And his whole life was blessed and touched because of kindness and humility instead of, "That's not your seat. Put that other person." How many opportunities are we faced with a challenge of being kind and humble to others? There's a prayer by Lori McKenna. I know many of you have heard the songs because it's sung by Tim McGraw, but it was written by a mother as a prayer for her children and grandchildren, and she would pray this over them, and she would give them illustrations. And I'm going to have to turn our Facebook off because they won't allow us to play this, but I want to just share a little bit of what it says in the lyrics. It says, "Go to church because your mama says to. Visit your grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be wasted time. Always stay humble and kind. Hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. Even though," and this is to the youngsters here, "you've got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dreams you're dreaming all of a sudden come to you, and you realize that your work is being seen. Let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind. Know the difference between sleeping with someone and sleeping with a person that you love. I love you ain't no pickup line, so always stay humble and kind. I'm going to pray right now for all those that are viewing us this morning. I pray, Father God, that you will bless them, that you will help them implement what's already inside them, the spirit of fruit, of humility and kindness. May this year be for each and every listener. Empower them to be greater examples and witnesses for you, Lord. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask, turn the lights and just...